Sunday, but it's another special day for me. So we have impact on people all around us all the time, and we don't really always recognize what's going on. So what we do from day to day does affect people, but we don't always see it. But can you turn this? Is this off? Okay, I'm just talking too loud. But every once in a while, we get to see the fruit of a bunch of people's labor. So as a pastor, I'm going through puberty. My voice is cracking. As a pastor, I have the privilege of seeing a lot of times the end result of what dozens of other people have done. One of those end results this spring was when Hope came after a service and said, I want to commit to serving God. I said, really? She said, yes. I said, all right, let's do it. And so a number of people have been pouring into Hope's life for years and years, and she's familiar with church, but people have been working with Hope and talking to her, and she's been seeing, and I was privileged enough to be the one who got to pray with her. So I was one person among many. Well, we also get to be one person among many today. Hope has asked, and she has made a commitment. She wants to be an integral part of this church. Now, just for what it's worth, Nazarenes are not going to be the only people in heaven. But Hope has said, I love these people, and I want to make a commitment to serving God with these people. So wherever you decide to be a member is, that's between you and God. But at some point in your life, hopefully you can say, I want to be a committed, integral part of the family with these people. And so she has said that today. So today, Hope, if you want to come up, and you can bring your buddy with you if you want to. Well, you can come up here so everybody can see. But I'm going to ask Hope just a couple questions. She came in and we talked through, you know, what the Bible says about this and what we generally believe. But there are only just a couple really important things that matter. So we talked about a bunch of stuff, but the really important things that matter, and I'm going to ask you, Hope, do you believe that God is in control of your life? Yeah. Okay. And Hope, are you making a commitment to serve and work with the people of this church? Okay. That's about as simple as it gets. Hope, this is your certificate of membership for the Steinsville Church of the Nazarene, and we are proud and privileged to be a part of your life, and we're glad to see what they already have thoughts about. We can do this. Let's do this. So it's coming. But we're glad that you all have made a commitment, and we get to be family. Right? Thanks. Hi, buddy. She does razz me sometimes because during the services, I'm like, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. And her knee's not the greatest in the world, so. What we're going to talk about today, our main passage, which is the verses out of the Bible, are in Psalm 24. And I put them on the screen today. I like everything, but I thought, you know, today maybe we'll put them up there. But first, what we want to do together, same thing we do every Sunday, is say our mission statement. And if you are able to stay... Hold on. Hope, can you stand up? Now, everyone else, if you're able to stand, can you do that too? Let's say this together. With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. I have a lot to say about that. I'm not going to say it today, but we're going to spend some more time talking about this, and really, it's really, really simple. Okay, in case you can't remember that, we have an even simpler version of it. But that's our mission statement. Let's read Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 through 6, I believe. And we're going to talk about why we give. Now, just a side note, and I told you this a few weeks ago, this was not a message on why you should give 10% of all of your money to the church or you're not a real Christian and you're going to hell. That's not this sermon. Won't happen as long as I'm here. Okay? This is why we give, the reason behind what we do. So if you'll flip forward to, oh man, who did that? That's me. Okay, so the top says, the earth, I'll read it to you. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And Selah is a musical term. So that's the scripture for today. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your encouragement and for your ability to help us focus on what really matters. And I ask this morning as we are listening and talking and learning, it's my one and only hope that you would make yourself obvious in what is about to be said. If it's not true, don't let me say it. If it's confusing, change it so it's right. But help all of us to understand what you have for us today. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. You can have a seat. Hope. So generally what happens when people talk about giving is we talk about the Old Testament concept of tithing, which tithe is derived from a word that means tenth. So one-tenth of whatever people did was a tithe. So if you gave something that was one-tenth of your wheat harvest, you gave a tithe of your wheat. If you brought sacrifices of animals and you had 100 sheep and you brought 10 of them to the temple to be offered as a sacrifice, you brought a tithe of sheep. And in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites on occasions of where they should be tithing, what they should tithe, how they should tithe. You could bring your sheep, your bulls, your goats, your doves, your wheat, different things as tithe. And if you go through and look at what God said each person needs to bring to the temple as tithe, it adds up to 30%. Like, puke. And I thought 10% was hard. Well, it added up to about 30%. The reason that there was a lot of tithing in different areas going on is because people brought their offerings and their tithes to the temple, which housed all of the priests, the people who served in the temple, and their tithes also went to fund the judges, the people who oversaw the administration of the Israelites. So God says, you need to bring this amount of what you have to the temple every year and give it to the temple. So they would bring their tithe for the service of God, because they believed that what was happening there was important and they wanted to make sure it was funded. So they brought this every year to the temple as a tithe to fund the work of God. So I'm not going to tell you that instead of 10%, we all need to give 30%. That's not the message. But it is common for pastors to get stuck on tithe. And I don't and will never preach from any specific book and say we have to do something that's not found in the Bible. But there are a lot of churches who, for the sake of simplicity and because we like rules, we like to know where are the parameters and where can I fall in them. So a lot of churches will say, and a lot of pastors teach, really out of simplicity, that you can pay a tithe, which is a tenth or 10% of your income. So if you make whatever you make, move the decimal place and get your 10%. That's what you can give. When we look at the New Testament, and I've been digging, and this has been difficult to prepare. I want you to know that up front. Because the New Testament doesn't say at any place, give this percentage. Which makes me think, man, now I've got to try to figure something out. Because I like rules. If I know that if I give 10% of my tithe, or 10% of my income, then God's happy with me. If I give 9.5%, then he's just a little frustrated with me. If I give 5%, then he's like, man, you're slacking there. But if I give 10%, God's happy with me. I like those kind of rules because I can know when God's happy with me and when he's not. But that doesn't happen in the New Testament. And so that's when I go, man, now I've got to think and pray about it. Because Jesus did say at one point, I haven't come to abolish the law, which tithing was part of the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish it, I came to fulfill it. So with that in mind, I think, okay, I still need to be giving. And do I need to be giving tithe? So I dig through and find, what do writers of the New Testament talk about when they talk about giving? Now, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about giving. And it's a popular verse to preach from. And as I was digging through finding sermons this week, I saw a lot of people do this. Matthew chapter 6 says, when you give. So it makes a statement, when, not if, but when you give, you should give to the Lord. That is true. The problem is the next three words, is when you give to the poor. So what I don't want to do is take when you give and preach a sermon on why God says you have to give to the church every Sunday. Because that's not what he's talking about. He says when you give to the poor. So when means I need to, give to the poor. So there are people around me that have needs. I should be contributing to them finding a solution for their needs. I should play a part in that. If I see somebody that has a need that I know how to contribute to, I should be a part of it. So when I give is what that scripture means. I watch TBN too much, and I get frustrated, so I'm quelling some of my frustration. Okay, so it does say your Father will reward you. This does not, so your Father will reward you. When you give to the poor, and what he says in those verse 1 to 4, when you give to the poor, don't do it like all the Pharisees, playing with my phone. Don't do it like all the Pharisees who run heralds out in front of them, blow their trumpets. Hey, everyone, I'm giving to these poor people over here. Look, they have a need, and I'm so rich, I'm giving to them. Good job. Jesus says, don't be like them. He says, when you give, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Keep it quiet. Because if you're giving so that I will see what you're doing, I see what you're doing. If you're giving because you want me to know that you're being obedient, if you give privately, I'll reward you. Don't worry about it. So when you give, your Father in heaven will reward you. Does not mean that if you want something, a common form of reasoning on with a lot of pastors that make their way onto television is, if you want something, God says you should give to the church. And if you'll plant that seed offering and give in faith, the Lord's laid it on my spirit that there are 1,000 people out there that are going to give a $1,000 seed offering, and God has just going to open the floodgates of heaven. He's going to reward you. Like, please, be quiet. Because that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, when you give because you see someone has a need and you want to be God's hands to bring a solution to that need, I see what you're doing, and I'll take care of you. That's what he's talking about. TV pastors irritate me. Most of them do. So I know that I don't want to take that passage and twist it around to say, you all should be giving money to the church, and if you aren't giving the money to the church, you're not obedient, and God's not going to give you what you want. That's not what it says, and I'm not going to take that passage and do that with it. I did find some interesting information in 1 and 2 Corinthians. That's where Paul talks to the Corinthians about giving. And here's where I kind of dug in and thought, okay, I can learn something here. There were some different ministries that Paul went and frequented. He oversaw a lot of different churches. And as he was going from church to church, he would say, okay, how are you doing? What do you need? And if somebody had needs, he would say, great, I will go to the next church and tell them about your need. If somebody says, hey, we're doing great, God's blessed us, we have more than we need, he would say, good, well, there's a church that I just left. So Paul is dealing with this kind of arena whenever we come to these passages in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He's looking at people, churches, ministries who may have more or may have less, but he's trying to figure out what do we need so that we can be effective in telling people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's Paul's, the only thing Paul cares about is telling people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What do we need to make that happen? So he goes from church to church and asks them. So there was a church that had a need. And Paul says, comes to Corinthians and says, hey, this church has a need, and what I want you to do is the first day of every week, I want you to set aside your offering for that church. The first day of every week is Sunday, which, you know, not completely relevant here, not like, well, it has to be on Sunday that you set it aside. You can write your check on Wednesday if it makes you happy. But when you guys, most likely they were meeting on Sunday, when you guys come together, you need to set aside every week, you need to make sure you are taking what God has blessed you with and giving to the ministry so that we can let people know that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't say 10%. He doesn't say 50%. He just says give. Right here he doesn't say. So once a week, when you guys come together, set aside your offering to fund the ministry, to let people know. So that's why some people think, we go to church all the time and they just take money. Well, it's just really easiest if we get in the habit of doing it. We could do it once a month if people were disciplined enough to not spend everything, and then they get to the end of the month and like, man, I don't have any money. It's easier to do it every week, really. So Paul says, when you come together, the first day of each week, set aside money to fund the ministry. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, he's talking about the Macedonians again. And he says that they have a need. Again, will these people ever get it right? Seems like we're always giving money to them, and all they do is spend it. We just gave money to them in the last letter, and now we're giving money to them again. Which is not the attitude, maybe, that the Corinthians had. But Paul tells them, verses 2, 3, and 5, he says, verse 2, he says, they have a great need. They're under some great affliction. Most likely, they were being persecuted, and, well, we can draw an exact comparison. So our Christian friends in Iraq and Iran that are Christians and are also businessmen, their businesses are not frequented, so they don't make much money. So they are under great affliction for their belief in Jesus. Same thing's going on here as is there. And Paul says, what we need to do is, for those people who are under great affliction, we need to do everything we can to make sure they have what they need so they can tell people that Jesus is the Son of God. So we in the Church of the Nazarene, has many denominations, but I am proud, not arrogant, but proud of our church in that funding missions, giving money to people around the world who have need because they are telling people about Jesus, that's like a huge priority for our church. So there are some terms you may hear, Faith Promise, NMI is Nazarene Missions International. There are a whole bunch of World Broadcast Radio. There are a bunch of things that we give to, and sometimes it might seem like we'll run through a period of where we're always up here saying, hey, we need some money. Well, we really don't need the money. There are people around the world who are trying to tell their friends about Jesus, and we want to be a part of them sharing God's news with them. So that's why we don't think of affliction, really. I mean, I might have to eat ramen noodles a few times, and I think, oh, I'm just so poor. Not really. I don't have a clue what it's like to be afflicted because I believe in Jesus. But there are people who do. And so what we want to do is what Paul tells the Corinthians to do. They have some affliction, but even in their desperation, those people are still giving. I don't know how they're doing it, but those people are giving and giving. So if they're under such great strain and they're giving and giving, and I'm sitting here, I mean, I'm having deer sloppy joes for lunch and some green beans and corn and I don't know what else. we're going to fix some other stuff too. And I'm like, I've got it pretty good. And so when it comes time to give and I'm digging in my wallet and I'm like, is that a 5 or a 10? I don't know. I look at people who have nothing, but they're still willing to say, you know what, I believe that Jesus changes lives, and I want to do everything I can to make sure that that news gets spread across the whole world. Those are the people I have to compare myself with. That's what Paul's saying. These people are in great affliction, and they gave beyond their ability. And so what I would like you to do, Corinthians, is to do the same thing. If a person is willing to give, and I'll stop there by saying that if you're new to church, if you're coming into church and you think, oh, I have to give, please don't think that. Because giving isn't like, well, if you walk in the church, you've got to throw something in the offering or else everybody's going to hate you. Because we don't. If a person is ready to give, they should give according to what they have. So let's say I make $20 a week. I don't. You all are very kind. But let's just pretend for the sake. Let's say 10. That's easier. Let's say I make $10 a week. That's not much. I don't have much. And I can barely feed my kids. Will God expect me to come in here and put $5 in the offering plate every Sunday? No. Because I have needs. He says I can give according to what I have. Now, if I do have far more than I need, then I come back to the same scripture. I should give according to what I have, not according to what I do not have. So it really doesn't make a lick of difference if I put a dollar in the plate. If a dollar is what I have to give, you are being obedient. If a dollar is what I'm giving so the people next to me will think that, okay, well, they gave something this morning, you might as well stick it back in your pocket. Really. I mean, I don't mean that sarcastically, but you're not giving for my approval or for anybody else's. I'm giving because I believe that when a common term is funding the mission, spreading the word that God can change your life, when I believe that, I'll do what I can to make a difference. There was a lady that Jesus and his disciples were sitting around. They were sitting at the temple watching people come and go. And this old widow came in and brought her 2 pence and put them in the plate. And you could tell by looking at her, she was poor, she had nothing, and she brought her 2 pence. And Jesus said, that's the kind of person I'm looking for right there. She gave what she could give. That's a lot for her. And so I need to have the same attitude. If my kids need something, which they don't, because God has provided every need. But when my kids do need something, I don't sit around and think, I don't know about that. I know you've outgrown your shorts. Or Raylan, she wears diapers. That's no secret. I know we're out of diapers. I don't know, Carissa. I'd rather go golf this week. I would rather go golf this week. Yeah. I don't think we're going to buy diapers for Raylan this week. That would be stupid. Because my daughter, my child, has a need, and I am capable of filling it. So of course I'll give. Now, the interesting thing is when we start realizing that we are just what Hope has done today, we have connected ourselves as family members. I'm connected to you. I'm also connected to the people. We just had some teens go to Honduras on a mission trip. Those teens learned that these kids down here that I've never seen before, after I spent a little time with them, I realized that they are my brothers and my sisters, and I'm connected to them. When I start to see the world with the eyes of Jesus, that these people are my kids, or my brothers or my sisters, then I don't think, well, I don't know. Should we buy diapers? I don't know. Of course we should buy diapers. So when I see that I have the opportunity to give so that other people can be changed by the power of God, I don't want to be the person that sits there and says, should I put a 1 in or a 5 in or a 10? I've been there. Believe you. Believe me. Whatever. Believe yourself if you want. I've been through that, and I'm grateful that I've started to realize that, you know, I don't know if you, well, Carissa pays our tithe. So if you see me up here, I have the guitar in my hands, and I have yet to put money in the offering. That happens when it goes by Carissa, okay? So we're giving. But it's not something where I'm like, well, I've got to be the one to put it in the plate so everybody can see me give. It's not a spectacle. You know I do, so I've just told you. It's not a spectacle. So if that's your mindset, I want you to feel like you can be freed from thinking that way. Don't worry about it anymore. And some of you, there are more difficult weeks than others. I understand that. Some of you have better weeks, and you're like, yes. What I don't want is my first thought to be, great, how can I go blow this whole check on myself? And I'm still working on this, so don't think that it's perfect. But my thought goes back to, all right, what are my needs? Is there anybody around me that has a need? Are there things going on? That's the kind of giving that Paul talks about and Jesus encourages when he's saying, when you give, give from your heart, not out of mandate or because, you know, if I don't give my 10%, then Sandy's going to know and then she's going to tell Ben and then Ben's going to shake my hand and look at me after church and I'm going to think, does he know that I didn't give 10% this week? Or, you know, I don't know what any of you give. I don't want to know because it doesn't make any difference to me. You're my brothers and my sisters, and I love you. And how you deal with what God gives you is for you and God. It's my job to teach you and for me to learn to be better at spreading the news that Jesus Christ can save lives. And I will tell you that the more I give, the less we have to try to pick apart what do we have the money to do, what do we not have the money to do. That's the nuts and bolts of it. You know, when you know, the budget committee meets and they say, all right, here's the money we have. What do we have to not do this year? That's no fun. That's where it comes into, okay, am I giving because I can, or am I just trying to meet the minimum so God's not mad at me? Well, God's not mad at you. He just wants you to grow up and whatever we need to do that. So giving is important. So when the offering comes around, or when somebody says, hey, we have a need, can we go serve somewhere? I'm giving of myself, not because, oh boy, I don't really want to, but if I don't, somebody's going to think badly of me. Well, free yourself from that kind of thinking. Don't worry about it. If I have a desire to go make a difference, then do it. And God's not going to be up there saying, well, you've put in 2.5 hours this week of serving other people, and I expected 3.7. You didn't meet it this week. He does not do that. He says, I've placed a desire in your heart. Have you done your best to fulfill that desire? If the answer is yes, good job. If the answer is, well, I know that I can and I should, but I don't want to, then we need to talk. That's what giving is. So why we give is in response to what God has done for us. I give because I believe that Jesus has the ability to change somebody's life. And the more people around me that have their lives changed by God, the more stable and healthy my community will be. The more people will start looking to God for their answers instead of a number of other things. I can tell you that when people continue to look to God to get through their marriage difficulties, it works out a lot easier. I know Chris and I look like we're always the perfect couple. Sometimes, yesterday, she had to be really patient with me. Because sometimes Ben is thick-headed. And sometimes Ben used to blow up and try to make Chris feel like she was stupid for even mentioning it. But thankfully, I started learning that Jesus has the ability to take that sarcastic, snarky little meh, meh, and he traded me for, keep your mouth shut, listen to what she's saying, don't forget she loves you. That's a pretty good trade. When Jesus, he talked to me, and I studied, and I found out love is patient and it's kind. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. It believes all things. It hopes all things, endures all things. When I really believe that applying Jesus to my life can change it, I start thinking, you know what? Somebody else might want to hear this too. And when I start having the mindset of what I have, I want to give to other people so they can experience God the way I am, that's when I fall in line with what Jesus wants from me. What has God given me that he wants me to share with other people so that they can understand him the way I understand him? Hopefully better, because I don't have him figured out. That's what giving is. So when the plate comes around, that is one aspect of giving. Don't give because you feel like somebody's going to look at you. I don't know what you give, and I mean this in a nice way, but it doesn't matter. What you're giving is God's placed a desire in your heart, and are you saying, okay. Now, if I have abundance, I should give abundantly. If I'm flat broke, I don't have to give abundantly. I can, I guess, if I want to, but I don't have to. So we're not required by that. Very last thing, we're going to end with this, is the understanding that what God has given me is God's. Jesus tells parables about masters and stewards. And in those parables, I am the steward and he is the master. So what happens is the master or the king owns everything. And he says to the steward, I'm going to put this in your care. I want you to take care of this and handle it responsibly. You know what I like. You know what needs to be done here. So take what I'm giving you and do it. What the servants should not do, or the stewards should not do, is take what is given to them that belongs to the king and go build their own house with it. Now, they may need a house. And if they do, the king can say, all right, your house is falling apart. I have needs. God knows my needs. But what he's given me is not mine. I don't have any money in my pocket. This debit card is not mine. Because whatever goes into the bank passes through the bank onto somebody else. And I'm reminded a number of times, whatever money I think is mine, it's not mine. The Jeep that I drive it right now, it's in my name, but at some point somebody else is going to be driving it. It's not mine. My kids, they're the closest thing, and Carissa, they're the closest thing to mine as I have. But they're still God's. He has given me a responsibility to take care of something, and so I want to use it the way he would be proud of me. As I'm giving, I'm thinking, this is God's anyway, so what does God want me to do with it? Not, what's the pastor going to think when he sees my tithe check? Or what's Susie going to think when she's looking at me across the aisle like, can you believe she just put a dollar in? Susie doesn't care either. Everybody's looking at you. Sorry. I look at you a lot because you smile. When I give out of response because I believe Jesus changes lives. And what he said is, go and make disciples. He came to save the lost. I want to do it too. So I'm giving so that people can come to know Jesus. That's the only reason I give. Was that too simple? Do you want me to tell you that you have to give 10% to be a good Christian? Some of us like rules. I'm not going to say that today. So it belongs to God, and we give to him as he places desires in our heart to see people have their lives changed like mine's been changed. That's how we give. All right? Stand with me if you can. Is there anything that I have forgotten? Anything? Tuesday night, don't forget, we have soccer Tuesday night and Saturday. It's going to be a good week. Happy birthday. Where's my birthday boy? There you are. Happy birthday. Hi, Danny. Nice. Well, it's a birthday boy. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us confidence in loving you. And I hope that as I get to know you more and know about you more, I can be more relaxed and trust you that you're not going to try to manipulate me or talk me into doing something. But I'm glad that you show us how we can love you because you love us. Help us to see this week what each one of us can do to help change the lives of people around us so they can experience the kind of happiness and joy that we get to live out. You've made it all possible by showing us how to do it, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray and say thank you. Amen. Have a great week.